patience of Job. We've all heard it said, probably have all said it at one time or another. You know what I mean? It's, oh, look at Bill. I don't know how he deals with everything. He must have the patience of Job. When I hear someone say this, I just want to scream out, have you read the book? Job is a lot of things. He is faithful. And he is honest. He is industrious. He has many friends. But friends, he is not patient. Job rails against God and his friends throughout the book, so much so that in the end, God appears in a whirlwind just to shut him up. Job accuses God of not playing by the rules. And God asks Job, where were you when I formed the earth? Now, none of that is to say that Job doesn't have a right to be impatient. Remember that the Jewish understanding of the world was that if you were faithful and worked hard and lived right, then God would bless you. It is that belief that drives his friends over and over to tell him to repent, because surely he must have done something wrong for God to be doing this to him. But Job says, no, I have not sinned. I make my sacrifices and I am faithful. But despite his faithfulness, Job loses his health, financial assets, and in the end, even his family. And he sits in his yard covered with sores and mourns his loss and the unfairness of it all. We learn that Job's faith, often like ours, questions and struggles and vacillates between belief and disbelief. And there are times where Job clearly expresses deep anger with God. Yet in the face of all that, Job continues to have faith. Even when he is in agony and wants to die, he affirms his faith in God. Even when his pain cuts to the core of his soul, he worships God. Even in the midst of his great disappointment with God, Job can cry out, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that tension between anger and belief and faith and doubt, this tension can be found throughout the book. So another place is in chapter 13 when Job says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Disciples today are still called upon to live that kind of faith. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, their faith, like Job's, may struggle. But in the end, they can say, along with Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. It's that kind of authentic faith that carries disciples through whatever circumstances may come their way. Even when the troubles just keep coming in like the tide, and there is no end in sight. Of course, it's hard for us here in the land of plenty to truly understand how bad things can get. The story of Job is one of excess suffering beyond anything most of us will ever endure. Most of us, but not all. We have friends and neighbors around us today who are probably asking the same questions that Job asked. Why me? Why did this happen at all? Where is God? How could God let this happen? And those are questions, unlike Job's friends, to which I have no good answer, because there are no good answers. Now, we've been pretty lucky here at First Presbyterian Church, but we all know people who have suffered some loss in the recent flood. Two families in Sue's church lost almost everything they have to the rising waters, and several families in our surrounding communities have been hit hard by this event. We pray for them, We reach out to them as the hands and feet of God, but in the end, they are the ones who must make sense of it all. To my surprise, Sue told me both families from her church that were devastated by the flood were in church the following Sunday morning, praying, singing praises to God, and finding fellowship and strength in their church families. Now, they may have had questions for God. They may have doubted God, but there they were. Of course, as bad as this flood was, it is not the story of Job, is it? It's close, but both those families in Sue's church still have their health and one another. They haven't lost their children or their families or everything. They still can make a living. But what about when hope is lost and we cannot see God anywhere? I was introduced to the writings of Elie Wiesel when I was in seminary. He was just 14 when the Nazis took him and his family to Auschwitz. His book, Night, recounts his time there. It is a story of a nightmare beyond belief. In an interview some years ago, Wiesel recalled a vivid experience he had at that camp. There were a group of men in his barracks who decided to have a trial unlike anything you could possibly imagine, because these men decided to put God on trial. They were going to put God on trial for all the horrors of the Holocaust. They had been men of faith, respected in their communities and synagogues. They were the chosen ones of God, but their faith had profoundly disappointed them. So they decided to put God on trial for abandoning the Jewish people. They were supposed to be God's chosen people, so where was God? Young Wiesel was asked to witness these proceedings. Charges were brought. Prosecutors laid them out one by one. God's people had been torn from their homes, separated from their families, beaten, abused, murdered, and burned in incinerators. An attempt was made to mount a defense, but in the end, God was found guilty of abandoning the Jewish people, maybe even guilty of not existing. When that trial was over, there was a dark and profound silence that fell upon the room. The men sat there stunned and in shock at the outcome they had reached. And they all wondered what this could possibly mean for them. And then someone pointed out it was time for the sacred ritual of evening prayer. At this point in the story, Wiesel gives a weary laugh and shakes his head as he tells the almost unbelievable end of the story. All of these men who had just found God guilty of abandoning them, these tortured and hopeless and angry men who didn't know what they were going to do next, all sat down together to pray the evening prayer. Friends, that's the story of Job. In the middle of his incredible journey into the dark night of the soul, Job can still say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I wonder, can we do the same when all hope seems lost and God seems strangely absent? My prayer is, Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. Amen.